Desai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. It's 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is the 17th of July 2014 and you're tuned to our Asia Stream. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Current weather conditions in the abode of supreme peace are pleasant, with the monsoon tracking almost normally. Minimum temperatures 24, maximum 33 degrees Celsius. General outlook for the day, a mix of sun and cloud, more sun than cloud actually, and is pleasantly breezy right now with a tinge of humidity. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, your day-long live connection to Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I'd like to begin by offering myself at the lotus feet of the Lord of the Universe, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Apart from being my personal hero, Bhagwan Baba is also the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. On behalf of the entire Radio Sai team here, that includes those of us you often hear and others who work quietly and diligently behind the scenes, please accept our loving Guru Purnima greetings once again. Here's what's making news in your true home, that is Prashanthi Nilayam. Although Guru Purnima occurred on Monday, July the 14th, we began the grand celebrations almost a week prior and they are continuing even now. Prashanthi Nilayam is always in a celebratory mood and we celebrate a busy multi-faith calendar here all year round. This past week in Prashanthi, what we have seen has left the devotees' cup of joy overflowing and our souls overwhelmed. The talent, the devotion, the deep and sincere commitment of this organization and its members, both across India and from far-off places around the globe. It's just too huge to grasp. And after the Mahasamadhi, the movement seems to have grown so big that it's nearly impossible to capture it in any single canvas. We have been enjoying top-class musical and dance presentations and listening to inspiring and informative talks by various speakers whose words were really rooted in their spiritual conviction. So whatever they spoke, it just touched the audience very deeply. I hope you have been keeping up with the festival of Guru Purnima in Prashanthi Nilayam via our website radiosai.org. All special presentations were webcast live and then made part of our video archive repository. So essentially, radiosai.org is your one-stop shop for everything related to the Lord of Prashanthi Nilayam and His glory. And this one-stop shop only trades in the currency of pure divine love. So all downloads are offered free of cost. Now, just learning about the vastness and the depth of this mission that the Avatar has initiated is simply mind-boggling. What's really interesting is that on the one hand, we know that the Sai movement is robust and vibrant across India and in another 120 countries of the world, but that is knowing in our head. And then when we see the presentations and the reports and the talks about its grandeur, naturally we are left quite speechless. Who else but God incarnate could inspire such selfless love and altruism and this sort of broad-mindedness? Today, I'd like to read to you some lines from a document that I received yesterday from a senior colleague of mine, Mr. Jagannath Rao Sir. Now, dear sisters and brothers, I have not cross-verified these quotes about Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba from various top spiritualists of India, but I feel inspired to share them with you all the same. I'll begin with the quote from Paramhamsa Yogananda, the author of the famous book, Autobiography of a Yogi. Now this is shortly before he left his physical body behind. Sri Paramhamsa Yogananda was approached by one of his close American disciples, a woman. "Master," she said, "I know that you're planning on leaving your body. You must take me with you. You are my God." "Nonsense," replied Sri Yogananda. "God is God. I'm your guru." "But Master, if you leave without me, I will commit suicide," said the lady. "Enough of that foolishness. God himself is now incarnate on earth in South India. His name is Sai Baba. When I leave, you're going to live with him," said Sri Paramhamsa Yogananda. And his prediction proved correct. After Sri Yogananda left his earthly sojourn, that devotee spent the rest of her life at Sai Baba's ashram. Now let's talk about Anandamayi Ma. Anandamayi Ma was one of the greatest saints of this century. She had often been asked, "Who is this Satya Sai Baba we keep hearing about?" But for many years, she never gave an answer. In the last year of her life, however, the question came up again, and this time she gave the following reply. So here is the response from Anandamayi Ma. She said, and I quote her, "This body will speak on this question only once. Do not ask again. Satya Sai Baba is the most powerful incarnation of God ever to come to the earth. It is no wonder you keep hearing about Sai Baba. He is the avatar of this yuga. And there won't be another of his level for another 60 centuries. Unquote. Then I have a quote from the hugging saint of India, Mata Amritanandamayi. Mata Amritanandamayi, herself considered to be an incarnation of the Divine Mother, was once asked, "Who is Satya Sai Baba?" She replied, "Avatar. Perfect from birth. Baba is fully divine." Now, I have another one from Swami Satchidananda, the enlightened sage who currently runs Anand Ashram in Kerala, was recently asked about Sai Baba and he replied very briefly. He said, and I quote him, "He is God." Unquote. Shiv Bala Yogi, another one of the great gurus of the last century, was once asked about Satya Sai Baba and he replied, "Satya Sai Baba is an avatar." I have many quotes here, dear brothers and sisters, but I'll just read one last one to you from one of my favorite seers and philosophers, Sri Aurobindo Ghosh. Rishi Aurobindo, it says here, "On the day after Sai Baba's birth, which is November 1926 is Baba's birth, and the following day on November 24th, 1926, Sri Aurobindo broke a long period of silence and announced, "Yesterday was the descent of Krishna into the physical. A power infallible shall lead the thought in earthly hearts and kindle the immortal fire. Even the multitude shall hear the voice." Unquote. It seems obvious at this point that this announcement of Krishna's physical re-embodiment was a reference to the birth of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba that had occurred just hours before this declaration by Sri Aurobindo Ghosh. Now, with that dose of vitamin G, of course G is for God, I'm happy to bring you part 2 of our ongoing Tryst with Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. And later on the show, I will play the second part of our Fleeting Moments interview with Brother Vijay Sai. So let's now enjoy part 2 of Mrs. Vimala Shyam's Tryst with Divinity interview, but after these messages.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Sri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger. Mm-hmm. And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love All, Serve All, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock, because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, Love All, Serve All, and we put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Trust with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Trust with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist, that is radiosai.org/TRYST or trist. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Now, Vimlaji, you are a traditional Hindu lady, you are a homemaker, and Swami gave you this huge responsibility, I understand, of one time becoming his ambassador to the Middle East countries, where your job was to set up service projects and organize devotees to help society selflessly. It's very unconventional and unheard of in those Islamic countries. How did it happen?
Actually, this has happened. First thing is, it started like this. When I joined, when I went back to Vrindavan, I joined Sevadal. And it went on for some time. Of course, that experience is also good. But further, as I go forward, I started thinking that, but just doing service in Vrindavan is not a service. Beginning, I thought that is service. Once I joined Vrindavan, I started cleaning. My heart said, this is not service. It's like my Swami's, my own. I'm doing my own home. That cannot be a service. Service is to, others. In different level is service, not this service. My mind was not satisfied. Then I started organizing. Of course, that 5 years very unique. I was really, Swami guided me. I can say train me, because I was talking to Swami, asking his permission for everything. I started doing medical camps, various service projects I started undertaking. Before that, I had an interview with Swami for some project which one of my friend has taken in Bangalore. She wanted to build a mandir. She was my close friend, and she said, you have to be with me for this, because I don't know much about it. And Mrs. Sarojama has asked me to stand with her when, because she doesn't know much of Swami's, but she wanted to do a big project. She said, you can be, because she is your friend. When Swami came, she called both of us inside for an interview. That time, I asked Swami for the service projects to undertake. Swami, I want to do service. Swami said, why service? Take care of home, children, enough. Why you want to do service? I caught hold of Swami's chest. Swami, no, Swami, I want to do some service. Please permit me to do service. Swami, looking intensely at me for some few seconds, for a long time he was staring at me, and then I said, okay, I give you. I say, yes, but on one condition, Swami said. Swami said, I want service, not quantity, quality service. On that basis, you can do it. This really a first advice and permission from Swami. Then when I started entering into seva activities of various levels, then I started realizing that quality is important. actually this is a very deep subject which I have taken with Swami, what is quality, what is quantity. And I went into deep. I realized as I'm doing seva, seva is nothing just for, just to get some blessings or nothing like that. It should come from within heart. You must treat the other person as yourself. And your bhavana is more important than the work. And when you do service, it should be like you do to your own children, not like to your own family, not like doing to some other person. Then only that is complete seva is, will be done to the satisfaction of Bhagavan. This I realized in the course of my taking up the service activities, step by step, because my fortune, I was very fortunate because I was savable of Vrindavan. I was asking Swami directly for all the projects. I used to talk to Swami. When I started the medical camps, I used to bring the doctors and introduce to Swami. Swami, these are the doctors. And because in and around Bangalore, 35 to 40 immunization camps have undertaken. For that, I have invited the doctors who are not devotees. But with respect to see Swami, they used to come. Before starting the camp, I used to bring them there and ask them to stand near Vrindavan main gate where Swami enters into the main mandir. The left side, they used to stand in a row. 4, 5, 6 doctors, gents, ladies. I used to stand end of the, when Swami comes, I used to tell Swami, these are the doctors who will carry out the, my medical camp, Swami and all. Swami used to look at them, yes, very good job you are doing. Manava seva is Madhava seva, do it. Swami used to tell, and he used to come end of the, you are not a doctor. Swami used to make fun of me. I used to like a small say, no Swami, I am not a doctor. And then he used to laugh and go away. So this is how I used to get interaction. Like a few projects I have undertaken. First and foremost, directly under Swami, 5 years. My entire, up till now, I have already told you, I used to believe that any project should be 5 years. So 5 years training has taken place in Vrindavan itself under Swami's direct directions. The first one is medical cancer detection camp undertaken by Mrs. Sarojamma. For that I worked very insistently because I used to go to the surrounding villages by walk and call the villages house to house. I used to go and call them and I walked to all villages personally with few seva girls and invited them to come to this camp. And it was such a successful camp. And the day the Cancer Institute doctors arrived in, Swami was there in the, that time, in the Vrindavan, and they all came, and so many villages have this habit, where you just send one note, they don't come. If you go personally, they come. That I knew it, so that I went to house, so that we made a preparation, all could come. The Vrindavan is full of villages for that, this detection camp. Swami was so happy, Swami inaugurated this, and really, 7 people were detected as serious cases and everything. Really, that day was, even doctor said, we never seen such a huge crowd for a detection camp. First time we are seeing, and it was so successful. And doctors were there, and I'm supposed to be very close to Swami. And he was talking to doctors, who did you have all detected, and all who is the doctor here? And they all said, we are the doctor. I am the doctor. Swami said, I am the doctor. But they could, I don't know whether they could have, but it really, I pondered when Swami says something, I go home and again put it to my mind and think, why Swami said this. And I, in a long way when I am doing service, I used to get the answers for all this. What Swami used to utter, you know, one word. And another thing is, when, of course, I've started raising very fast. Sarojamma started seeing my capacity of organizing. She started me a small leader in Vrindavan itself for a group of people. And it was really very unique, you know. Once what happened, Swami called us for a saris inside. And we were all sitting, and Swami looked at me and asked me to get up. So I got up. He said, go inside the mandir. I kept the saris, bring it here. And I brought the saris from there. And I thought I give it to Sarojamati. He started distributing from my hand only. Started distributed all the saris. And I forgot he has not given me. I started going back and keeping the saris. Suddenly Sarojamati said, Swami, you have not given her a sari. The lady who is carrying sari, oh, I have not given sari to her. This girl, she is very good. Sarojamma, you see, in future she will do lot of work in my organization, Swami told that time. That is the point when Sarojamma started training me, putting me into a very important post, like acting state coordinator, like very engaged. She started giving me huge responsibilities where I could execute my work and so that I could get experience. She was telling, you are going to be the pillar of the organization. This is what Swami is. Please don't take in your head, but work towards it. Such a leader, though she was, a leader of type, which nowadays nobody listens like that. The way she is not worried about anything, but the discipline she was insisting was very, she's so deeply devoted to Swami. Then I realized why she talks like this, but I later realized so disciplined. One incident, if I can narrate, of this, during summer course, we were given, that time it's a new, that is within that 5 years, my term period, that summer course time, she has given Lady Sevadar a duty to control the ladies when Swami goes out to the auditorium for the summer classes or summer lectures, evening, entertainment program used to be there, and he used to go. That time she used to put inside the Vrindavan where Swami comes out in the car, where the ladies run to Swami car to stop them, she used to give. Once we, 3-4 of our sevadals, we were standing, controlling. Swami's car came. And Swami's car glass came down. And Swami said, why you are all standing here? The program is there. Why don't you come to auditorium? We were excited, seeing him calling. Come there, he said. So we are excited. So everybody was there. We were here just to controlling. When Swami called, we thought there is nothing more for that. We all ran there. But going there, realized Sarojamma's eyes were really very angry looking at us coming there. She didn't say anything, she just kept quiet because a lot of crowd was there, she was controlling, kept quiet, and that evening she called for a meeting. She said, she called us and asked, why did you come to, come like that behind Swami's this thing called, and we were very confident, we didn't do anything wrong because Swami called us, we had to go behind this. When Swami calls, we had to go, and then we say, she didn't know that Swami called us, that's why she's asking, why did you come, leaving the my duties there, and coming like any other ordinary devotees, I'll remove your scarf immediately, I don't need to save others like you, coming behind Swami and coming there, she told. Then we said, no, auntie, Swami called us. What? Swami called you? Then you should have told Swami, Swami, Sarojamati is given duty here. We don't come. Why did you come? She made us cry and says, apologies. If you do this, you will not be in Sevadal again. She said, no, auntie, we will never do this again. Sorry, we didn't know. No, you should have told Swami that you are on duty. Why did you fall? You break the duty like this and you go there. And so that day over, we never thought, the same day, next day, uni, again, same thing, same Sarojamma's history repeated. Swami made us to stand there, again Swami's car came, again Swami stopped the car in front of us. Again he asked, yesterday did I not tell you, this program is there, why you are standing here? We are all like, no, Swami, Sarojamma auntie told, given duty here, we don't come there. Swami, oh, Sarojamma gave you duty. Papa. And he laughed and he went, oh,
thanks.
And see, this is a way of teaching Swami. Duty is no. We thought, who is Sarojamma? Why she has told you to like this? That is our...
Swami, even number of Swami's word.
Respected her words. And he says, yes, duty, okay. Papa, really. And he went away. So I learned. It is not, duty is very important. Even Swami is bound by that. He wanted to, train us that we give, see, this is the initial training I got like that.
How did you land up in Middle East though? Was your husband working there?
It so happened, I was raising a lot of service projects in Bangalore. It is really 500 ladies were called for the duties. There was no sevadal before when only Brindavan 25 sevadals were allotted. I am now among the 25 permitted by Swami with permission, and they are not allowed to come to Bangalore service activities. When I was appointed as Bangalore city coordinator in 1993 by Dr. Padmanabhan was my district president. So he asked me to create service activities, service-oriented ladies in Bangalore. So I started touring Bangalore samitis and started lecturing to them that service is so important that once in a week, instead of spending your leisurely times, wasting your gossiping here and there, you can give service 4 hours. Per week, some activities in Bangalore. Like that, you know, throughout Bangalore, I have raised when I became the service coordinator. The opportunity came, this service, that time the active members of Bangalore has come into being, and it was inaugurated by Swami in Vrindavan. I told Swami, this is what I have done, and that time All India Bal Vikas program was going to take place in Vrindavan. So Alembic factory was a very huge place was taken for the accommodation. So a huge set of sevadals are required. So that even our state president was hesitant because there was no service in Bangalore. He wanted to call either in from Madras or Tamil Nadu or Andhra Pradesh. They were discussing. Then I told my state president, "No, sir, I am going to bring the active members for this service." He said, "Really?" He couldn't believe. I said, "Yes, you bring." But I told Swami, everything I used to bring to Swami's notice. Swami, for this I have created. He said, "Okay, bring them." When I brought, they were organized in Kalyanment, all the ladies who had entered this active member. So that day, I was standing with, I had 4 coordinators for 4, I divide Bangalore into 4 zones, and 4 zonal coordinators were with me. And Swami came there, and I invited Swami to come to, already information through our Dr. Padmanabhan has given that ladies there, he has to inaugurate. So Swami knew that we are going to invite him to this. So Swami finished in the hall and he came towards me, and he started walking into the, we started escorting Swami. I was walking behind me, 4 coordinates walking. Swami suddenly turned towards me and said, "What is service?" Like question he asked. I said, spontaneously, "Service is sadhana, Swami." Swami nodded. And few steps ahead we went. Again Swami turned to me. "Service to whom?" Swami said. "Swami, service to the society." Swami nodded again. He went inside.
He approved of your answers.
And he questioned me. I was questioned before introducing the service-oriented people to Swami, whether I understood what is service. It came spontaneously because it was my life, and it came without, I never knew how Swami could. I spontaneously gave the answer. Swami nodded, went inside, and he inaugurated, and 500 ladies from all wings were there, gathered, and Swami was, I told everybody, not to ask any questions to Swami when the Swami is going through this, because we want to hear from Swami his guidance. And Swami went back, in spite of my instructions, somebody asked, "Swami, why did you, you were looking like a human being, but they say you are Narayana. This is the question they asked. But you look like a human form." He said, "I am the same. Your eyes are closed. you can't see me as a Narayana. This is the words of Swami. Answer he has given. And he walked towards the front. And he closed his eyes. He was going, Swami, this Malvika's program is coming. And how do we look after the candidates, delegates who are coming? I asked Swami, how do we look after them? Swami said, look after them, they're like your children. They should feel that they have come to mother's place. They should get the feeling of that they have come to mother's place, like that. So, finally, our group who have been oriented, who worked for 10 days to the pleasing Swami, how beautifully they worked. They all, before leaving, they all said, we have come to mother's place. It is, we felt like that we are, then I was really happy that I heard this from their mouths, that they said they have come to mother's place. This what Swami said, we have fulfilled. And Swami was very happy, said the best. Seva Dals, they have executed a very good work, and I was not there when Swami was talking, and because I was managing in Alembic factory, people came running and told me that Swami is praising these Seva Dals who are doing here, and I said, oh, I see, I heard, because I'm so much involved in my mind was not registering that much that the praises that not mattered, but they came and shaking my hand, congratulating me. All the top leaders came and congratulated me, Vimla, you don't have rebirth, you see, you will be there. I looked up to the sky and I said, what I am going to do there? I don't go there. I will be with Swami, serving. I don't want all that, whatever you are showing up and all. They started laughing. It ended like that. So after doing this service, seeing that, I came to Puttaparthi. I used to come to Puttaparthi for guidance from Swami because various projects have opened up. That four coordinates I brought here, and I had an interview with Swami. In that interview, suddenly Swami opened up. See, we are explaining to Swami all this. It's okay, but I have a work for you. You have to go to Dubai. I was shocked because there was no...
Did you have a passport at that time?
No, nothing. I don't know anything.
Never traveled outside India.
I said, first time I'm hearing, because I never traveled except Swami and that world. I never knew what he is telling, you know. First time I could not think he's joking. Like something he's joke like that. He said, no, you are going, you have a work there, I'm going to give you. And all were shocked. All were started protesting, my coordinators. Swami, you can't say we have taken so much big, huge projects and she's going, no Swami, we can't go. He said, no, she has to go. And she said, appoint the one more senior, Kusuma Mohan. She came as a, you appoint her, she's a senior most first, say, Lady Sevadal. She was with me, she was also one of the coordinators. You appoint her, train her, and you leave. I could not make what Swami was talking about, because I have no inclination, no idea at all going away. How do I go? Swami, me going, yes, you are going, your husband is going, and everything Swami is telling. And they were all very depressed, and I also don't know. I came out because we couldn't say anything. Yes, Swami, just we nodded and he came out. I started crying. Mr. Shauri came, why you are crying, Vimla? I said, Swami said, I have to go to Dubai. Some of the rapists started laughing. Everybody excited if they are going to Dubai. Why this girl is crying? I cried. Said, why Swami is telling me to go to Dubai? And Swami told, everything he told. Dubai decision is made, you bring your husband and I'll bless. You can go. I said, yes. And I did not, really, to be frank, there is no information how he was working in Bangalore. And when I went back, suddenly got a phone call. Next day or after 2 days, got a very call from Dubai. My husband applied 2 years back to a Dubai job in Dubai. That people were calling him, see, we need you very urgently. Your qualification suited very urgently. Within 1 day you are reporting in Dubai. My husband was surprised. I said, please go. Swami told you I have to go to Dubai. I don't know, you go. Everything worked out very fast. Within 1 month, he had to leave to Dubai. Before Swami said, you come to Dubai, we came. That day was a Sunday and a Deepavali day. That was 2005, I think. Deepavali day, I came. Everybody started laughing. Everybody came to know Swami has said this. And how come you are coming Sunday and Swami is going to call you or anything? We didn't have much time. But believe it or not, Swami called my husband, called us inside, and he called, he told us, see, now you leave. After some time, your wife will come there, because I don't want to send her alone. She should not be alone, so she has to be with her husband. So you go there, and then she will be followed, and she will come later, settling her children, she will come. You go, and he blessed her, gave him, Swami went inside, brought his gown, and gave him as a blessing. And he left. After that, Swami, I didn't know what I am going to do. Because I thought Swami, maybe I must have made a mistake. Swami wants to send me there so that I can, he send me to the distance because I'm so much attached to Swami in Vrindavan. I didn't want to go. Then, I didn't know what to do in Dubai. Swami went to, he came to Bangalore, went to Kodaikanal. And in Kodaikanal, again I followed because I had another project to discuss with Swami, that Sai protein we were started in the schools for children. So I wanted to tell Swami about that. So I went there, followed Swami. There Swami again called for an interview. Oh, you come with a gang or what? Swami asked. but we all went inside and there our coordinators were crying, Swami, please, sir, don't send her. Swami was very firm. No, she has a book there. She has to go. And Swami briefed me half an hour there. What I am supposed to do. See, you are leaving. I told Swami, I don't have father-in-law, mother-in-law, my son is the only son. How I live? No, I take care. Swami, my children, I take care. Everything Swami said, I take care. My mother, I don't have father, only my mother is, I take care. Swami said, no, you are leaving. Swami, you must go there. And then Swami said, after going there, Swami first said, you have to speak in English, you have to address people, you have to teach them in English, Swami said, and take care of your vocabulary, Swami said.
Spoken English classes.
and then there, once you go there, you should not tell my name or organization. You must open up service activities without telling my name and organization.
That was his clear instruction.
Clear instruction.
He knew the laws in those countries.
Yes. I didn't know. Uh-huh. Just I heard from Swami, whatever I heard, everything clearly, what Swami said. And then said, okay, Swami. Then after that, we came back. Then when he came to Bangalore, he called Muni Ji and asked my both the children to admit into school. She said, Mataji is going to America, he said. And I was surprised, America.
Instead of Dubai, he made it America.
I was surprised, he was telling America. And then after that, both the children were admitted. And then he told your mother-in-law, you keep someone. I had my own house, so I appointed some family to come there to take care of her. She will be all right, she said. She will be all right. Then you leave. And in the July time, I have to go. You know how hot it is. I came for the last week. Swami said, still you are sitting here. I used to sit opposite to Mrs. Shauri because from Karnataka, we used to allow to those times to sit there. And he came and loudly said, still you are here? Hurry up. I said, my goodness, I preponed my date of flight and I went to Dubai. I didn't know how to go by aircraft or this thing, you know. So I don't know how to fly and all that. One of my friend, she said, you come to Madras. One of my sister-in-law she goes into the airport authority. She will tell you how to go and all. I will help you out. So I went to Madras. From the Madras, I had to take a flight to Dubai. It is to Bahrain to Dubai. like that. She arranged everything. So she told me, you don't go in escalators, you don't know, you go on the steps. She gave me, if you know, Bahrain is a very big airport. She gave me the plan. Straight you have to go, take a right turn, take a left turn, and there you, and your flight, the entry will be there, gates will be there, you'll be seated waiting there, 2 hours gap will be there, you wait there, and then they'll announce you go inside. All that instruction I got, I went to Dubai, and I landed, and my husband was there already. He received me. I entered Dubai thinking that, as Swami said, everything, I can go to center and tell them, the, because he's already indicated to the chairman, Mr. J.B. Chaitram, that she will be coming to Dubai for, he also know that I am coming, but he was not there when I went there.
Which year was this?
I went there on 2006. Mm-hmm. And 1 month he was not to be seen in the, I went to the center, Dr. Acharya, now the director of our general hospital, was the vice chairman there that time. He was entertaining me, he told me that you stay back, he will come there. And after 1 month he came there and he told me, he called me. I told Swami, has to, I know, Swami has told, you know Vimla, you have not, knowing this country, this is a very strict country, a lot of restrictions are there. If you make one mistake, because till then in Dubai, there's only Balvikas and Bhajans, no service activities. You cannot open service. You either you join Balvikas, as Swami said, or Bhajan. If you want, I can give you any work, but not service, which is going to the, you know, it's very dangerous here. One mistake, we are all deported from this place. You are spoiling the whole thing. You don't know. Swami has sent you, but you have never traveled, you don't know about this. You have come with the Swami's instruction, you are going to do. He never allowed me. He said, I also was very adamant. Swami said, you say, do service. If you give me service, I do. Otherwise, I don't do anything. Like this, you know, tug of war. He was not allowing me, and I am not doing the other things. He like went on for 3 months. I was fed up because I was not interested in Dubai, seeing its beauty and all that. I don't know. I was so keen on to carry out Swami's mission. After 3 months, Dr. Acharya and with other 14 members, they also were coming. Along with them, I came to Parthi to tell Swami, this is not possible here. Because what Swami told, not possible, because they are not allowing me to do. When chairman doesn't allow, how do I go about it? Then I came back and I said, Swami was surprised. My Swami came to me, he was surprised to see me sitting in the line. You came back. Why? He said, Swami, I want to talk to you urgently. I want to talk to you something. Swami said, that is during birthday time, 14th of November. Swami said, oh, okay, I will call you. Swami understood, realized, okay, I will call you. How many of you come? He asked. With me, I travel with 14 members of Dubai, Swami. Doctor, okay. Next day he came, he said, call 14 members. Were there, so call them, all of them. He said, you come. And when we went inside, after sitting this, and Swami was asked me, why did you come back? Swami, after you sent there, they're not, the chairman is not allowing me to work. Whatever, I can't carry out any service activities or whatsoever, because he is not permitting me. Oh, he told all of them, they're sitting, 14 of them. Dr. Acharya was also there in that interview. And I was thinking always, I am like Hanuman, crossing the ocean, carrying Rama's message, and like, you know, some work of Lord. Swami told all of them, she is like Arjuna. She is carrying out my instructions. Why they are not allowing? Okay, I'll talk to the chairman. You don't worry. So he went inside again, gave me another Swami's gown, threw at me. Now you go back. I'll talk to your chairman. And Mr. J.B. Chaitanya used to come and sit in the veranda. I came back happy, content. Oh, now that things move. So I came back, sat there, and waiting for Swami to talk to chairman. Chairman came, sat there. Swami was coming, going, no talk, nothing. No, he was not called. He was not spoken, nothing. No sign of Swami talking to him. And birthday is over. My time was going back also came. My visa was getting over because I was had residence visa. I knew it. I had to get back. And I was really, the last after birthday, I sat in the front and I wanted to tell Swami. That day I sat, Swami came straight, was walking. I wanted to, I kneeled down and tried to tell Swami. Swami ignored me and went away. Really, I was in my mind, really, I got up thinking, I was angry with myself. I was really frustrated. I said, Swami, this is too much. You send me there to go and work, and they are not allowing to work. Now time is over. You said you talk to him, and that man is very adamant. He is not allowing me. What am I supposed to do? Okay, I'll go then and sit, do what you want. And I can't help it now. I had to leave. I got up from there, and I started walking briskly. I was really, you know, thinking myself.
All upset.
Upset. And I went back doors near the Ganesha. I was going near Ganesha. I saw our chairman standing there. And he said like this, stop me. Stop, Vimla. What, uncle? What is the problem? He said, no. In the name of Ganesha, you are going to work with me. I said, I came there to work with you only. Now you are taking Ganesha's name. Why you are taking Ganesha? No, you tell me. Yes, I take the Ganesha's name that I'm good. And then definitely I'll, whatever, I have come there for the sorries of Swami. Then he said, just now Swami told me in the veranda, she's very upset. She's going. Stop her. Tell her. You are going to give her permission. You are going to give, open up everything for her.
See, it helped to get upset. Sometimes it works, even with Swami.
So I went back. Then he created a group. He made me a service coordinator. And he asked me to, carry out the my whatever I'm Swami instructed me, asked me to. I made a group of people there and told them, all the devotees came. We had a convention. I had a discussion with them, made a convention. I asked them to chalk out where are the places you can service activity. That service coordinator, he told me, Madam, this is a very rich country. It is not like India, as you think. There you can do whatever. Here everything is available. Whatever you mention, there is available. I said, when Swami says, there must be. Why then he has to ask me to open up service activities? There must be something. We will chalk out one by one. Okay, he said. He challenged me. Okay, I'll take you to the handicapped school there. I'll show you there is no need. There are machines. There are so much of resources which can help you. What your seva can do? He said, no. You come with me, I will show you. My conviction is more because I heard from Swami, there must be something. So I will be very first example. I took him to the, got an appointment. She is an Arab director for that handicapped school. We went, we got an appointment, we went there. She called us, we both sat there, and I explained to her. Swami told, no, you should not tell organization name. I said, help ever, hurt never. Our group as named with our permission of chairman, I said, help ever, help never, we paid. See, we are a group of friends, help ever, help never, we want to help the handicapped children. Madam, please allow us to come and help. She said, what a miracle. I was flabbergasted. This lady is telling miracle, what miracle? And she said, see, 2-3 times I announced in the papers I need volunteers. Nobody came forward. How come you came on your own and asking me? It's too great. But only thing, you have to be trained. Please get trained and then come. Then I was so happy. He was also flower girls. Okay, we came back and we found that our warden madam, Mrs. Anita Nikra is there, no?
Warden auntie's daughter.
Daughter from America. She was specialized. She was in Dubai that time. She was specialized in this, children. And she told me that she is going to train. And they organized in a hotel, our chairman, one group enrolled people who are volunteering for this activity. And she is going to train for nearly 1 week. She trained. Even Arab ladies attended this. She has given, and our qualified volunteers have entered one area of handicap. See, they said no. So, and then what is next? Next is old age home. She says, they told, no, it is run by the sheikh of, he's a king, is running that. There is no dearth for anything. What you are going to do? I said, there must be something. Let us go and see. Then we will see what we can do. And Sharjah, there is no old age home in Dubai. There is in Sharjah. So we went there. It is really 1.5 hours drive from Dubai. They took me there. And they are actually following me because I have to show them the way, you know. So I went there to see what is there that we can do. So Sharjah we went and we went and see that. So I started observing and all that old age home and very old, very sick people, very they used to come in and they were attended and all that. But when the food was served, they all left their families, they were given everything, full food, with all quality food. But nothing, one spoon they used to refuse, no. The lady used to see the time, that what is the time she is feeling, 5-10 minutes, they said, okay, take her, they are all malnutrition because they never taking food. I was observing what is lacking there, then I realized, I came back and told, they need somebody to feed them lovingly, that love is lacking. See, they are seeing the time and feeding the patients, we will feed with them, we will talk to the authorities that we give this service of feeding them. They were very happy anyway, so difficult to task it is to feed them. Believe it or not, that time when we took up this with our volunteers, how they started feeling with love, that love, you know, and they don't know the language, they were speaking Arabic, their Arabic language of heart, that love which we were exchanging, they used to make them eat slowly, like, you know, talking to them, which they could not understand, but with actions and all that, you know, with love, they started responding, they started eating. Authorities were flabbergasted. They wanted our team to come and feed them. Feeding for the is the service activity we have taken there. Like that.
Although they had plenty of nice food.
And all this, they are liking love.
Now, Sharjah is 1.5 hours from Dubai. How often did you do this seva?
We have divided because in all the Emirates I started the centers, samitis are oriented so that we created the volunteers so that one Emirate in rotation they used to come. Okay. There are 6-7, yeah. So whole week, one hour they come and give the feeding seva. So that we have divided like that. So that is
every day of the week.
That they come, the volunteers to the particular time they come. Some of them even offer 1 or 2 times, 3 times. The homebound ladies will come and do. They used to drive. They used to come feeding time and one particular time used to come and feed them at least one, not 2 times. In the evenings time was a very crucial time there because sleep they used to go to. Believe it or how they used to hug. The love they are sharing, no word exchange because they can't speak English, we can't speak Arabic, but they used to hug and kiss, you know, like the grandmothers, these our volunteers, they used to wait it seems for our people to come and
and if they were well fed for dinner they would get a good night's sleep.
That is how I found, and like this, you know, I started spotting the various, and we started another thing, Narayan Seva. All started laughing, what Narayan Seva, food is in sumptuous here and all that, what is Narayan Seva? Because I was probing into so many informations, maybe Swami is opening up so much for me, that I could get so much of information, like, you know, when Swami wills, somebody told me that from India and Pakistan people used to come and these agents used to cheat them, and they used to take away the, their passports and visas, and they would go without any work, and they used to get only one can of Pepsi per day, and they used to be in the camps, labor camps, they used to till their settles, they used to be in very, you know, without much food they used to be there, they used to take care but not much of food was there. That I came to know, and I discussed in Indian embassy how we can go about this. They said you can't go directly, you have to go through embassy. Indian embassy can take care because Indian embassy is responsible for
immigrant workers.
Immigrant workers and all that. And then I started said, okay, we supply the provisions. Will you go and hand over to them? Yes, that is become the Narayan Seva. We all get together like meeting, or I called all the members of the organization and I told them this is the work who are interested. All pulled sumptuously, rice, all whatever required for them is being collected and given to the embassy and it will be given to the people who are suffering. It has similar pattern. I opened all the GCC countries because I visited all the GCC countries. They invited me because after a few centers I opened, I told them whether I am doing right or not, I have to go and ask for me. They said, we are also coming. So we all came to Vrindavan for 2 days only. All of us came. The day we landed only, Swami asked, why you all come, Swami? I want to talk to you about some projects we have undertaken. Because I am also not, whether I am doing, because whatever Swami is flowing, I was working. Swami said, okay. He called 2 days interviews for both. And in the interview, all prepared and brought all the projects and given to Swami, showed to him, Swami, whether it is okay and all. Swami said, master plans, very good. He said, what we can do? The Narayan Seva approved. Everything is approved. Yes, very good. What all projects I opened up, he has approved of everything. He said, very happy. He blessed all of them. And next day also he called and said, very good. You carry on the works. That is how I got the approval. They should not think some lady came taking the name of Swami. See, though the chairman knows, all cannot be knowing that definitely Swami is, and Swami has given them, told them, this is what, it's okay. You okayed my projects there. So this is how I carry the projects there.
So how was the English coming along, the vocabulary? You were talking to a lot of people, giving talks, inspiring, being a team leader. How was that going?
It is very spontaneous. Something which is very unique, I can tell you about this. Wherever I go, whatever I do, because every country when invited, they are given 2 days to the maximum. Where they cannot collect the people in one place, they have to make in small groups.
Yes.
Because
of the laws.
Laws are very, they don't want any groupie. And also they used to make small. So I have to address people from morning till evening, 2 days full, different groups and different
various small groups.
Smaller groups. Karanaji, I don't know that flow from inside, how it came. I never carried anything like, you know, all I spoke from my experience in Vrindavan, interaction with Swami, whatever I learned, that only I quoted, not from any book or anything. From my own experience, I am initiating them, because so much of 5 years of experience with Swami's training I have given. They were so happy that I was addressing, and every time the subject was changing. Every time I myself don't know what I am going to speak. The moment I go and stand in front of them and say, Om Shri Sai Ram, the subject is revealed to me. The words which is coming out, I myself has to pinch what is coming out of me. It is emanating all.
It's channeling.
Channelizing. Mm-hmm. And the flow was so good. I don't know what.
Vocabulary was
not
great.
Nothing.
Nothing to worry about.
And believe it or not, in my, such a top level Sai devotees who are chairmen of so many companies were seated. I was really pinching myself where I am addressing such a high class. People was sitting and listening to me. And wherever I go, the ambassador of Swami is coming. Like that, they were really, what a welcome, what a... I was thinking of Swami, this is not me. It's definitely not me. I am such an ordinary person. When I went to Qatar, I don't know who they are. I have not seen. And usually those countries we have to go with husbands. Here my husband could not accompany me for so many reasons. They used to organize, I mean, computer trainer. On that basis they used to take. For that reason I learned computers at that time. Because I am a computer expert. That is how the visa used to tell. She's coming to give a training into computers. They used to call. And I used to show the visa and enter the country. I don't know even the devotees also. Because all knew. They used to keep that Vimala Sham. that in the
play
reception play card, and they used to receive me. And really, in Qatar, really tell you, such a big crowd gathered in the airport, at the airport. And when I entered the, you know, that country, I was, you know, received with such a big bouquet, like red brick. Anybody sees some minister or some
maybe a star from Bollywood is coming on a red carpet, and welcome.
And in the front car, I used to go on the 10 cars used to follow me. I said, Swami, this must be you only. I am not the one. I used to remind myself, this is not me.
Stay grounded.
Maybe this is, you are using this instrument. This is not the way I should, you know, like, and how they used to, you know, listen to me, honor me. Like, you know, Swami, what I realized is, you know, when in Kodaikanal interview room, I cried in front of Swami. Swami, I am leaving you. What? You are leaving me? Where you are leaving me? You see me there. Mm-hmm. This is what I have seen. And the devotees, my goodness, some of them have not even come to see Swami. They become the devotees, and what a devotion, 100% devotion. What I have seen even in Dubai Center, when the bhajan start, what a quality of bhajans they are rendering, what a training they are undergoing. They are following Swami's principles like anything. And the chairman is very strict. Even one person, never mind, I don't allow. And the time, you know, the time of samiti is exactly, the door will close. There, when the bhajan start, the doors will, all soundproof doors. So that door will close, and nobody could enter. They can have to sit out. So people used to be in time, so that they can be inside the, and quality of bhajans. And I saw the, even the photos were turning when they are singing the bhajans. That much of, and they never used to speak. They feel Swami sitting on the chair. The chair was there. Mm. And they used to talk like, you know, and Swami sitting there. It's really, more than, I am telling them, I learned so much. I know how they take Swami.
Mm. It's amazing.
Sairam, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The time in Prashanthi Nilayam right now is precisely 10:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and today is the 17th of July 2014. You just heard part 2 of my Tryst with Divinity conversation with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. You can reach the final part of this interview right here next week, same place, same time on Morning Glory. Up next is part 2 of my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti's Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Brother Vijay Sai, an alumnus of the Sai University who currently resides in Bangalore. As I go on to play that interview, I ask you to please be well, stay inspired, and do whatever it takes to be positive. And please don't forget to smile. Smile from your heart till even your heart smiles, and so does your kidney and your liver, and every cell of your being also smiles. Just be happy, will you? Please. So see you next Thursday in Morning Glory right here at 9:40 a.m. I will try to sign in a little bit earlier from next week onwards on the suggestion of my colleague, Brother Raghu, because I always sort of spill over into his time slot. So I'll try to sign in a little bit earlier to next week. Meanwhile, I look forward to your feedback to everything that you heard and are going to hear on Morning Glory. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Over now to Brother Vijay Sai in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishop Rushti. Sai Ram, and thank you.
Swami used to call us to Thrai Vrindavan, and suddenly one day, on day 2 of his visit there, he said, "Kaun boy speak karta hai?" And he made one boy get up. And the first speech was given by my brother Shravan, who is now, you know, serving in the Satsai Hospital, Whitefield, I still remember. So okay. He got up and spoke for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
He had the first speech among the students, that particular batch,
okay,
1 year senior to me. So thereafter, Swami then asked somebody else to speak. So every day we used to ask people to speak. So this continued for about 6 to 7 days. So on the 7th day, he looked and asked, "Who will speak?" He looked at me, "Will you speak?" I said, "Yes, Swami." So I stood up. I stood up and started off singing Yam Brahma Varnendra Rudra Marutaha. Thereafter I talked about Adi Shankara Shivamanasa Puja, which I had learnt from my father, and spoke about it completely. In the end, I recited a poem composed by me, and I had known the poem by heart. I completely told it out, and Swami was delighted.
Oh.
He said, "See, kaisa achcha gata hai, very nice." Then Narasimhan, he called, who was the editor of Saraswati, "How was the boy's poem?" They said, "Swami, poem is very nice, Swami. Please take the poem, put it in Sanatan Sarthi."
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So it came in the next Sanatan Sarthi.
Wow.
Then he was very happy. Then he asked me, "How did you learn all this?" So Swami developed interest for it. And then, "How did you develop interest?" I said, "Swami, I was in Balvikas." He was so happy. He called Padmanabhan. He called, "See, Balvikas student. That's why he's like that. He knows all these things, slokas and everything." That was a turning point in my life. Because after that, after 3 days, in the Kalyan Mandapam, he looked at me and said, "Get up." I said, "Yes. Swami, whatever you spoke that day inside, please speak that."
Again.
I repeated the whole thing again. It was like, a pride when a parent shows up the child who can sing a little song. No?
Yes.
Just like that. And Swami was very happy.
Proud mother.
Proud mother, you know. And the twinkle in his eyes showed, wow, he really
is my student. He is my Balvikas. He has learned all that he is saying is so sacred and so pure.
Because the background to it I learned later on. Because the Balvikas was started by Mrs. Padmanabhan.
Okay.
With Swami's guidance, who had gone to their house and
In Bangalore.
In Bangalore. So he was telling him, "See, Balvikas student."
Yes. And Mr. Padmanabhan was there. Wow.
So thereafter, it became that the next time he called me inside to speak, I stood up and started speaking. He said, "No, Swami, I want you to sing and speak." I said, "Swami, the way you sang, first lokam, then speak, then quote many things and speak."
Okay.
And I started off. I knew Bhajagovindam, I knew this, Gita, I already knew, started off. And then I realized, I got to be ready every day.
You don't know when he's going to ask you.
So then started my preparation. I started using all Purandara Dasa thing that I had heard on the radio, all Kanaka Dasa thing, Baswana thing. And then I also started looking for Hindi Dohas, Kabir Dohas, and all tuned them, listened to them, got ready with the speech, and has to come and speak in front of
you. So every day you were ready. In case Swami asked me today, you had something in mind.
So in that particular year, between January to April, till he went to Kodai, I spoke some 28 times. Kalyan Mandapam and Trai. Kalyan Mandapam and Trai.
Wow. Amazing. It was a great training.
It was a great training. Like in a sense, I even had Swami did not like what I told him, because I went beyond what was expected, and he asked me to speak in the Kalyan Mandapam. So that day I was overconfident and also ran out of stuff to sing. And we had the B.Ed. campus of Anandpur happening in Vrindavan that time.
Oh, okay.
So they were also sitting.
Okay. The Anandpur sisters.
Anandpur sisters also were sitting. So Kalyan Mandapam, very confidently I got up and said, "Adi Shankara has said, Balastavat Krida Sakta, Tarunastavat Taruniya Sakta," means children are interested in playing, and young men are interested in women, and all Vriddhas. I don't understand, but here in such Sai institution, it is Balata, Sai Asakta. I changed the whole thing in this. But I looked at Swami, but I realized something was wrong. Because for the first time, I saw he's not smiling. Bus, he's telling me, stop. And I stopped. Then I took namaskar and went. And Swami was walking back to Trai Vrindavan with Narasimhan. When I went there, he gave me a tight slap.
Oh my God.
Then I realized, Narasimha was telling, Swami, what Swami? In front of your girl students, sisters, this boy is telling, Balastavat Krina Taranastavat Taraniya Sakta? Swami said, why did you tell that? Swami Shankaracharya said, you must have discrimination. Just because Shankaracharya told that, you can't quote it out of place here. Sigulaida? Nachkya Galva? Aren't you ashamed? Girls are sitting there, and I trust you and say, get up and speak. There are all the other VIPs in the guests this also, and you get up and speak this. So first time, I was out of form. For about 6 days, 7 days. Meanwhile, I got fully ready. Then Swami, Intarai Brindavan asked, are you ready? I said, Swami, don't quote Balastavat Kreda Sakta. I said, Swami, no, Swami. But then I become wiser. And then Swami said, so, what did you speak on? Swami said, Purandara Dasa. So many good things, Dasa. Why do you take those wrong stanzas? Okay, Swami. And then I spoke. And Swami was very happy again.
So, Purandara Dasa's, so many songs you would have after that learned, right? After that...
Yeah, that was in my first year degree. I learned more in the second year.
So every time it was a musical talk.
It was a musical talk. I must really thank our two people to thank. One was our warden, Sri Narasimurthy, and other was our principal, Sri Anil Kumar, because I had taken help from both of them. So whenever I needed some quotation about a particular topic, I should go on to Narasimurthy Garu and say, sir, I need something on grace. And he'd give me, this is there from Basavanna, here's a Kannadiga, this is there from Purandara Dasa, this is there. Then I used to go to Anil Kumar sir and say, sir, tell me something about what Swami has told. He used to quote a Swami's poem. So I had picked up this Professor Hemlata's book of all Swami's poems compiled. Because the Telugu script is almost like Kannada, I used to memorize it. So I used to go on memorizing those quotations and go and tell in front of Swami.
Swami would love all
Swami
poems.
Would love. The first one I told, so it's easy to say, Chaptadu Chestara, Swami only has said, I remember the first Telugu quotation I gave was, that Swami says, Chaptaru Koti Cheyarokkati, Chapputa Sulabhambu Cheyuta Kashtambu, Data Kaina Vani, Tata Kaina. Someday, Telugu Nechukunnava, Swami.
You know Telugu?
So you learn Telugu? I said, Swami, I'm learning Swami. So these people helped me a lot. Wow. And other thing that happened was, when I ran out of songs, I realized the only thing left is I need to tune. So I used to take slokas and tune them. For the first sloka, tune Bhagavad Gita couplets, tune Kabir couplets, tune many other things of Purandara Dasa and get ready for using them in speeches.
Speeches. Wow. So music was something which came naturally to you?
Yeah, music came naturally to me. I had not learnt any music at all.
So you didn't have, even in your school days, you didn't have any formal training in music?
No, not at all.
Playing harmonium or singing?
No, not at all.
So it just came...
Music, I used to sing. You know, when I was in school, I used to sing all kinds of songs. Dampada songs, film songs, and bhajans. It just naturally happened to me. I never thought of it as an effort. But then what happened, somewhere around that time, Swami liked my singing so much, he said, Subbalakshmi. So one day he called, I want Subbalakshmi to come. And everyone looked very, who's that? And finally they asked me, oh, come, Subbalakshmi, you are Subbalakshmi, come sing.
Wow.
Because I used to quote from Bhajagovindam, which Swami was then I started quoting more and more. Then I learned, I went to the hostel AVC room and got more Subbalakshmi thing and learned some more favorite things of Swami. Subbalakshmi sang and I used to sing those lines. Swami was very happy with all that.
Wow. So, and that's how you started singing bhajans also?
No. So, somewhere around that time, in the month of February, March, I think it was the month of March, I asked Swami, do I have permission to sing bhajans? They asked me, we had our teacher, Sri Balasubramaniam sir, our chemistry lecturer, who used to play the harmonium also in charge of the music group. He said, you'd ask Swami's permission. So I asked Swami, said, you can sing. So I sang with one more person together. And the first bhajan I sang, and it was, we used to sing together. But it was okay. But I'd not get only one chance or two chances. I was the last in the entire group. That's how I started singing. So when we came to Puttaparthi, then they allowed me to sing on the last day one bhajan here. It was like that.
And slowly, and thanks to this opportunity to speak as well as to sing.
Right.
That is what gave you a lot more chances with Bhagwan, right?
Correct.
And you had chance to participate in various dramas and the opportunity to go with Bhagwan also on various trips.
Correct. So again in 88, what happened when I came back to Prashant Nilayam for Dasara? So one day we had somebody coming and asking me. I had Sri Narasimhamurthy calling me to his room and asked, "Does Swami call you Subbalakshmi?" I said, "Yes." So he came out and told Chiranjeevi Rao Sarva, "Sir, he's the one, sir, he's the one." So in Chiranjeevi Rao, because what had happened was, Swami had told, "Go call Subbalakshmi from Bangalore, from Vrindavan." So Chiranjeevi Rao Garu had gone to our entire ladies' side, who's Subbalakshmi? And he came and told Swami, "Subbalakshmi ledu, Swami." Swami asked, "Where did you look?" It was in the, in the Purnachandra, behind the room, VIP room where it was. Then they said, "Swami, lady side me chustan." Lady side kadu, gent side. Then he went around. Then Swami said, "Student, mana Vrindavan student too. Second year student too." So then he came. Then he went to Narasimhamurthy, "Sir, Swami is asking Subbalakshmi." So finally, they had actually taken 2-3 people and shown to Swami. He said, "No, you are the Vidkaru, Vidkaru." And finally, when I went, he is Subbalakshmi.
Oh my God.
And then Swami, that was the first time when Swami gave us a piece of paper. I told him to speak for Dasara. I said, "Yes, Swami, so write down." So we sat there, four of us. So there was myself, there was Dilip Chaudhary, there were a couple of others. We all sat there, writing the speech. How can you write a speech? Swami is sitting there. After he read 2-3 lines, Swami is reading letters somewhere and says, "Show me." Then he reads, "What is this? This Loka Swami, this. Okay, fine. Write some more, let me see." So we had to sit there and keep writing the speech.
The speech, my God.
So all four of us in the small room sitting and writing a speech, and Swami sitting there. That's the time we realized how we are tempted to look at him.
Yes.
We look at him, he says, "Shh, write." And we're writing, and corner of our eyes trying to look at him. And that was the time when we realized that there was so much prapti we had.
Yes.
Because I recollect one thing from that particular day. And all four of us, Swami said, "See, there are a lot of devotees waiting. I'll go and give darshan and come in Purnachandra." We said, "Swami, no, Swami, please, don't go, stay." Swami said, "You know what? When you tell me stay, I can't go. Because you all don't know what you'll have done." We said, "Swami, you all don't know what you'll have done. If you all tell me don't go, I can't go. Okay, let me stay." He stayed for another 20 minutes. Then he said, "See, lot of devotees are there. They're all praying. Can I go for darshan and come?" It was like that. Darshan pai vastano. Then Swami said, "See, you're not understanding the value. You do one thing. You come and stand and watch how devotees behave when I go there." So we all went behind the curtain, standing, two of us this side, two of us that side. And Swami went into the audience, into the devotees crowd, and people were all full of frenzy. And then Swami came back, took a cover and asked, What is there in this? We said, "Swami, no." Then he said, "Let me see. There's money in that." Tuck.
So he would see what is and then remove it.
And then remove it. Then he gave it to us. Then he said, "See, you look at those devotees there. They're all waiting for me. They just want one glimpse of Swami. If I look at them, they're so... And here I am sitting with you all. And you don't realize the value. Like frogs to the lotus." We said, "No, Swami. Won't we?" "What? No, Swami. No, Swami. We'll always be..." Then he held his hair, the usual style. "Inta mandi chosinano," he said. "I've seen so many people, bunch of hair, you know. No, Swami, we are not like that, Swami." As we spent more... This is one thing which I remember very clearly in my second year. So thereafter, again, when Swami came, it was again speeches and speeches and speeches from me in Vrindavan. Second year, third year, totally.
And you must be having some memorable moments of speaking in the Divine Presence. Like sometimes Swami would have corrected you, sometimes Swami would have applauded you. Sometimes his thoughts would have run dry and he would have just given you some inspiration.
I'll tell you two things that happened right now. That's happened in my second year degree. The first thing was two things at just the top of my mind. So, I was going into the Sunday and the hostel line used to go to Kalyana Mandapam. We had the Sai Ram shed then.
Yes.
In the Adan Sai Ram shed, the huge tree, the Krishna statue, marble statue. Yeah. Swami used to go from Trai Brindavan, go give darshan there, take aarti on a Sunday evening. And he used to come to Kalyana Mandapam. We used to be seated in Kalyana Mandapam in the front. All devotees would come to Kalyana Mandapam. And the Kalyana Mandapam used to have the speech, come singing session.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was examination time. And when all the other people were preparing for their exams, I was busy preparing for my speeches. Okay? That's the irony. And that particular day I had very severe sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
The day I have today, much worse than this. Just couldn't even speak that day. I was coughing continuously. And as Swami walked from Trai Brindavan, our line was going to Kalyan Mandapam. He is slowly walking, watching all of us go. He suddenly saw me. Then he gestures to me with his eyes itself. The gesture was, ready? I said, Swami, no, Swami. Why? Then again gesture. I showed my throat. I said, Swami, throat is gone, Swami. And Swami gestured again as if he's throwing something. He did like that. Nothing happened. Second time he did a gesture, nothing happened. Third time he did a gesture, a huge orange color sugar candy came and I caught it.
Oh.
And as I caught it, then I had Jain sir walking behind me. He said, go, 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 go take namaskar. So I ran to Swami, took namaskar. And then Swami said, yeah, put this in your mouth. Your throat will become all right. And don't chew. Suck.
Mm-hmm.
Agibeda chipu. In Kannada, he told me.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to me in Kannada.
Mm-hmm.
It was too huge. It was too huge for my mouth to fit. So I kept there, kept the kerchief, and went on sucking it. It did not get over. I heard the aarti getting over outside. Swami sat for two bhajans, completed the aarti, came back inside. Then he came. He went down the entire aisle to the end of the Kalyan Mandapam, came back and sat on the chair, then looked at me and asked, ready? I said, Swami, it's still there. I showed it to him. Then he said, okay, bhajan start chandi. So they started bhajan. At the end of third bhajan, he looked at me and asked, I understand, I do not know where I had that, I actually opened my mouth and showed it to Swami, still so much, still there.
Still there in my mouth. Still sucking it.
Then Swami said, okay, continue. So we cut, the bhajan continued. It took about 5 to 6 bhajans after it was over. Then I told Swami, it's over. Then immediately Swami stopped the bhajan. He's waiting for my, told, get up, speak. Then as I went to take namaskar, he told me, see, lot of good singers are there. P. Sushila, P. Leela and others must sing well. That is Swami. I'll do it, Swami. Please sing well. You know, the confidence with Swami showed.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of them, he purposely went and said, Subba Lakshmi, he said, everyone looked outside. No, not there. Here, come get up. Then Swami told, please, it's my Subba Lakshmi.
Wow. That's right. So Mr. P. Sushila, the legendary singer, he's my Subba Lakshmi.
Then I sang, and as I sang, the speech went on well, everything was fine, but still Swami was not satisfied. My voice had become alright, miraculously, had become alright after that sugar candy was created and given to me. And then Swami said, you know, you go and sing one more song. He still wanted to make me sing more. And now what happened? As I had got up, I was earlier in the third row or fourth row. Now when I got up, my place got filled.
Mm-hmm.
People just came forward. There's absolutely no place for me to sit. So when I went, I did not expect Swami to ask me to sing. So I went and sat somewhere almost about 10 feet away from the harmonium and 12 feet away from the tabla, somewhere behind. And now Swami looked at me and told me, sing. With great difficulty, the mic, the cord of the mic came till there. So I had the thing and I started singing a song. He did not want me to sing a bhajan. It was a song. And as I started singing, I started realizing, oh my God, I'm going out of tune and out of talam also, because now the entire devotee fraternity started clapping. And there were waves of claps going on. The tabla was going on in its own way. Harmonium Shruti is going on somewhere. People are following in some other Shruti. The talam is gone. I said, oh my God. And Swami wants me to sing. Well, because peace realized there. Immediately, Swami went, picked up the talam, the cymbals which were there next to him, started playing it. He played the cymbals so well that the entire audience was in raptures. But I've heard seen Swami playing the cymbals.
Yes, yes.
He played it so well, and the entire audience was such raptures. I started looking at Swami. You know, for a moment, I realized Shera was supposed to sing the song, but I just want to watch him enjoy. But he's playing for my song. I need to continue singing.
Yes.
I want to enjoy watching him play.
Mm.
But I can't do that. You know, I continued singing, and somewhere deep down, there's that, you know, this ahankara, the pride comes in, telling, yeah, Vijay, the Lord of the universe playing talam for you, and he's so happy with your singing. You're so lucky, Vijay. I was talking to myself. And I was singing, and the entire song, so I mean, played and played, the audience were in tears, I was in tears. The whole thing is over. And then some people behind me, Vijay, you're so lucky, man. Swami played talam for you. Such a lucky person. I was so grateful. Now I wanted an extra chance. So as Swami took the aarti and stepped out, as I was walking to Thrai Vrindavan, I ran. I ran because I wanted that appreciation, that praise from Swami. Swami looked at me, patted me a little hard on my cheeks, and said, Dunna Pota. I said, Swami, you know what? You were going out of talam and out of shruti, so that the audience is distracted from your singing, I started playing the talam. When I started playing the talam, nobody was bothered about your singing. That only concentrated on my talam. And I saved you.
He just mesmerized everyone.
He mesmerized everyone.
Hypnotized. You are a healer, you know about it.
I know when I think this, I really think that those lines flashed to me that, what is that? Prabal prem ke pale padkar prabhu ko niyam badalte dekha. Apna maan tale tal jaye, bhakt ka maan na talte dekha. He did not want people to think I'm a bad singer.
Yes. And just please explain that. That's a very beautiful couplet.
See, Prabal prem ke pale padkar, is about Gopikas. You having, not able to explain, the intense love of the gopis moved the Lord so much, the Lord changed the rules. Prabhu ko niyam badalte dekha.
He had to change his own rules.
Apna maan tale tal jaye. His honor might go. His respect might go. He's not bothered about that. But bhakt ka maan na talte dekha. He is so bothered about the honor and respect of the devotee, he did not want to let go of that.
Yes.
And that's what that...
That's what he did that day.
And that's what he did that day.
He didn't want anyone to think about your singing.
Uh-huh.
Because he knew it was not going in that.
And everyone thought, I have sung very well. Because nobody listened to the singing.
Exactly.
He himself told me that, no? Nobody, everyone was concentrating only on the song.
The fact that Swami is playing talam for your singing means you have to be the greatest singer.
And that what Swami was, he had that chair which was turning chair. So once it was the ladies, once it was the gents, she went on turning and, you know, Swami
is completely
mesmerized the entire audience so that they did not even listen to my song.
Wow. Amazing. And that's how many times we do not know. They say for every single act in our life where we see the divine intervention, there are countless for which you do not know. We are not even aware that he has intervened.
Correct.
And like this, I mean, there were so many times when he has saved as honor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Physically, he would have known him, but there could have been so many instances.
So many instances.
When he doesn't even, you know, he doesn't bother about himself.
Correct.
He doesn't think about his honor. He doesn't think about his happiness.
Correct.
He all the time worried that my devotee should be safe.
My devotee should be safe. And that too, you know, the students. Students are the special thing that for Swami and...
Yes, yes. Amazing. And you're saying there's some more related to sin. Maybe one more we'll do today. Okay. I know it's been 1 hour since we started talking.
1 hour already passed by?
Yeah.
I think when you go on talking about Swami, you don't even realize
exactly.
That 1 hour's passed by.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think I'll narrate this particular thing. That was on one particular day in the month of August, Swami was there. In the year 1988. So I went into the Thrai Vrindavan, just like everyone goes. Swami had already come out before we had gone. So everyone ran and everyone got good seats and they sat down. And I was late, so everyone had already sat around Swami. And as I went inside, I saw Swami distributing huge bars of chocolate. They were really huge. They were foreign bars. And Swami asked, "Why am I distributing chocolate today?" My answer was, "Hey, probably some foreign devotee has given and Swami is so magnanimous, he's giving it to all of us because they're all foreign bars. Why am I distributing chocolates?" He asked Vicky Narasimhan. "Swami, tell it, Swami," he said.
"I don't know."
"Because, I don't know, Swami," he said. "Because today is Subbalakshmi's birthday."
Oh, oh my God.
I said, "My birthday? My birthday?" And suddenly I remembered the Lord of the universe. You know, my mother had written to me. In those were the days of snail mail, you know, understand? The inland letter used to write.
Yes, yes.
See, every time you celebrate birthday based on the Western calendar. But Indian calendar is what is important. You must get your blessings on Indian calendar.
Correct. The lunar calendar.
The lunar calendar. But you know, the problem with lunar calendar is changes every year.
Yeah.
You can't remember. So my mother had given me a particular date. I had forgotten about it. And I went to the Western calendar day and had taken the blessings. And that was the day of the lunar calendar when my mother wanted me to get blessings from Swami.
Oh my God.
And he had remembered my birthday. And so that particular song which I used to teach in my first MA for Christmas, that, "O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is your name and more even. You have set the moon and the stars in place and you still remember me." You understand? He has to take, I mean, what is it for the Lord to remember the birthday of a devotee, that is the lunar birthday, and say, "I'm distributing chocolates on his birthday"? May, you know, Swami has this unique way of making each of his devotees feel special.
Yeah. Every person thinks that he has come for me.
Yeah, he's come for me. The unique relationship that Swami builds is, you ask every devotee sitting there, every student, each person will have something to say, when he will say, "The Lord is mine, and I am his."
Yes.
And each one would have an unique individual experience. And this is possible only by the Lord.
Absolutely.
And the moment I realized my birthday, I never missed an opportunity. I ran to the front. I took namaskar. I'd already got a chocolate. And I sat on the left side of Swami. There was a fan there. In those days, there was no jhula. There was just a chair.
Okay.
And there was a stable fan, and I just sat there. So Swami asked, I was sitting on the left side of Swami, near the Swami asked, "So, did you get the chocolate?" "I did. I was greedy," he told Swami. So he told, "Take." Then he told me, "Open the chocolate." I opened the chocolate. So there were squares of those cubes of the chocolate that was there. Then he took the chocolate, broke it into one small cube. I was looking at it. Then Swami held it in his hand and blew into it. Thrice he blew into it. When he blew into it, that entire thing turned into an emerald.
Wow.
Same size, same shape as that of the chocolate. Then he said, he gave it to me. See, he said, then he said, show it to others. So he passed it on from hand to hand. It went till the end of the room. Everyone saw it. And then it came back to my hand. And we were all mesmerized by looking at Swami doing all this. Swami said, you know what? All these are my visiting cards. And I can change the heaven to earth, earth to heaven. I can even change all of you to girls right now.
Oh my God.
He said, sorry. You know what? But the biggest change I bring about is a transformation of the human heart. I first give you what you want, so that later on you may want what I have actually come to give. And then he said, Ide Mayara. You're all interested in the creation. The creator is sitting here. This is Maya. We're all bothered about the trinket, that emerald he created, and looking at it. And the creator is just sitting there, waiting for us to pay attention to him again. And when that thing came back, I had it in my hand. And I was thinking, my birthday, I'm going to keep this. And Swami told me, where is that emerald? And after 2-3 minutes, he looked, has it come out? Hey, give, he said. So in a typical way, where everyone started laughing, like as if I'm trying to steal it out. Then I gave it to Swami. Then Swami held it again, and blew again, thrice. And the moment he blew it, it got transformed back into a chocolate. Then he gave the chocolate back to me. And now, I was in two minds. If I keep the chocolate, I have to give to everyone my birthday. You know, you're selfish when it comes to God, right? Very nice. I said, all that is not right. And it's chocolate. My hand also is getting sticky. So I should eat it off. At that point in time, Swami was talking to somebody on the right-hand side, turning that side to the right-hand side, and I was sitting the left-hand side, exactly almost diagonally behind. You understand? So very quietly, I bent down, took the chocolate, and put it into my mouth. And suddenly Swami turned. I'm now going to blow. I'm making it to emerald, he said. I said, oh my God. I'm swallowing the chocolate. I said, no, Swami. And then Swami always makes everyone laugh. Laughed and everyone had a good laugh. God. But that was such an experience for me. Because on one hand, he showed me, he remembered my birthday. He made me feel important. He showed me that transformation, his omnipotence, is just transforming energy to matter. Matter to energy is just a matter of will for him. He can just do it. Because of the same shape as the chocolate. And when we came back and giving it to me, you know, so many things happened in that particular incident. When I recollect that, I am completely flabbergasted looking at the love of Bhagwan for all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, he's worried about your pimples. He knows about your lunar birthday. I mean, to what extent he takes that pain to let us know that how much he loves us.
Correct.
Though, I mean, and he has to keep on doing that.
He keeps on doing that. And he reveals his omnipresence and omniscience all the time. In my first year, I had missed telling you this. So, end of first year, I had seen Swami giving rings to everyone. It would be an enamel ring with his image, or a ring with a stone. And I would see people losing the stone, the enamel getting completely, face of Swami getting disfigured. And I should think, oh my God, I can't handle all these delicate things. If ever he gives, there's nothing like this should be there. And in those days, it's to give class interviews.
Yes.
So we had a BSc interview separately, BCom interview separately, and the BSc interview, there were about 11 to 12 of us. So in that particular interview, he asked me, well, the first time I had a photograph with Swami also, so what do you want? I said, Swami, I want you. Hey, what do you want? Swami, I want you. And I was all along trying to really feel, Swami, I really want you, I don't want anything else. And Swami waved his hand. I was half curious to know what is there, but still I was telling no, I was looking down at his feet. And then Swami said, look here, what did you want? Swami, you wanted me. Who am I? Now I have learnt not to answer that question, because who am I can change with Swami for every time you tell it will be, it will not be the right answer. I just kept quiet. Who am I? Then he said, I am Sai. See? And gave me a ring with S-A-I embossed on it, a silver ring.
Wow.
So it was no enamel, no stone. This is a ring.
Unusual.
It's in 1988, and now 26 years later, it's still there.
Still the same.
Wow. Only the, it's changed the fingers and now fitting only the little finger.
Wow. How the slightest thought.
Yeah.
If you have a slight, that is his love, if you have a slightest want also, he will feel fulfilled, because all his trinkets, I mean, he will give us what we want.
Correct.
Only so that we have to make the journey now to what he really wants, yes, to give us.
Yes.
And that is a journey I think every devotee has to think for himself or herself.
Correct.
Because many times we think, many of us know what Swami has done for us, and for, as we are saying, you know, for everything that is one act that we know, there are million that he has done for us which you do not know.
Correct.
And he continues to do.
Yes.
So now it's our responsibility is to think what, let me do something that he wants me to do.
Right.
Let me ask what he really wants to give.
Yeah. That is a special, you know, in those 2 years, initially I started writing the diary.
Uh-huh.
But then I couldn't write because on a daily basis he talked to me so much. And I only told you some of the key things that I remember.
Yes.
In a huge treasure house, some of the biggest things that I could pick up, I just picked up and told you. But if I start thinking of each and every day, in retrospect, every day was a new thing.
I know. Every day is with Bhagavan, because every day is, you are into a world of uncertainty and unimaginable mystery.
Correct.
So,
and also,
it's a revelation.
The way he used to teach us lessons.
Yes.
You know, there's this a junior student of mine, and when I was in second year, I was in first year. So one day Swami gave a discourse about Sai Gita. The love Sai Gita had for Swami, the way it used to come running behind Swami.
Yes.
And the way it had traveled all the way to Vrindavan one day when he was there.
Yes.
Everything. And suddenly at the end of this discourse, he asked, who wants Sai Gita? There was silence. There was only one hand that went up. Me, Swami. And there was one boy in the first standard, in the first year degree. Then Swami said, come. Waved his hand, gave him a small replica of Sai Gita, and told him, take good care of it.
Wow.
That boy used to take glass for the garika that you do for puja for Ganesh, right?
Yeah.
That one, every morning breakfast used to put there, lunch used to put there regularly.
Oh my God.
It made an altar for that. But Swami told a lesson to us that day. He said, then he asked the boy, why do you want? He said, Swami, for me it doesn't matter. Anything Swami gives, I want. And Swami was so happy. He said, see, this is devotion. All the others were thinking, if I get Sai Gita, where will I tie it? What will my parents say? How will I feed it? I don't have place.
Correct.
But this boy's thought was, if Swami is asking who wants, I must take it, whatever it is. Because his thought was, if Swami is going to give me something, I must take it, and he'll give me the wherewithal or the strength to take care of it.
Yes.
The lesson he was.
He didn't have all the other.
He never had any
other
distracting
thoughts. Wow. That's what he always responds to, that pure thought.
Correct.
Absolutely. Amazing. We can go on, I know, but I think it's more than 1.5 hours since we started, and you have to drive back to Bangalore, so I will not keep you in the studio for long, and I really pray and hope that we continue this. We have to do this.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, what you have shared today is just one or two of those instances which are just top of your mind.
But correct.
I think if you find time to just sit down and reflect, I think you'll be able to unearth so many of those precious treasures. And this is something that we have to document. This is something that we have to preserve. We have to share. Because, you know, there are thousands of students who long to be Sai students, who never had their chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever we share these things, you know, it really fills their heart.
Correct.
With so much joy. And every second that we as students and as devotees have spent with Bhagwan, and when we share, it's like they are reliving those experiences.
Yes. It was for me now, it was the last 1.5 hours went by because it was like a meditation for me. Meditation of, I'm able to still, as I keep telling you these things, I'm able to see Swami, I'm able to hear His voice calling me Subbalakshmi. It was an intense meditation for me, that's why I don't even realize that 1.5 hours has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only a boon for them, it's a question of, I must thank you for making me do this manana again, because it's only when somebody asks me that I talk about all of them.
And we will never be tired of asking you, because we know you are a treasure house of beautiful, beautiful memories. And we really also want to talk about your work after Bhagwan's institution, because now you're also doing so much into healing people, and I think that would have also given you a lot of insights about life, new insights about Bhagwan's teachings.
Right.
Because you are in that space where you're serving people in different ways, at different levels.
Correct.
So maybe with time, as we reach there, we will talk about that. But we will first try and capture as much as you can share about those indelible golden moments that you had with Bhagwan. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. And I really look forward to the next session. And I pray to Swami that he arranges it as soon as possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, precious. I too enjoyed.
Saram.
Thanks.